Well, there was a nor'easter on Friday on the East Coast in the New England area from where our show emanates. There was a nor'easter. It wasn't Hanukkah. It wasn't Veterans Day. Nor'easter. Anyway, winds, hurricane force winds, and then some. Knocking down trees onto power lines, knocking out power for just about all of New England. It's lousy not to have power. Of course, that's what Donald Trump says all the time. As far as him being a dictator, I'm talking about not having powers, far as having heat or the ability to run your refrigerator.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Mm-hmm. Things can get a bit weird.
Oh, yeah.
If you like that sort of thing.
Okay. All right.
Whatever.
Okay, Nicole.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you, Nicole. Okay, Julie.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. Today, you might want to take notes. Not that it's important what I say, it's just that there'll be a test later, and the winner of the test, those that get the highest scores, will receive a free dishwasher. Ooh, a dishwasher. You know what that means? You can wash your dishes. But you don't wash them. The dishwasher does it. I know. Only kidding, not giving away anything, because I'm a cheap bastard. All right, fine. Donald Trump, again, enamored by dictators. Of course, this all started at birth for him. He wanted to run things. He just points and people are supposed to do it. They're supposed to be loyal to him, swear up and down that they will always support him. He doesn't have to do that. He does the opposite for them. He first struck up a relationship with Vladimir Putin, the leader of Russia. I think what Russia has over Donald Trump is that Trump and Putin have had consensual sex involving all types of weird, weird sexual activities. Like Vladimir takes his clothes off and Donald, well, I don't want to get into it because I can't, it's starting to paint a picture that I can't handle. But quite obviously, Putin's got something over Trump. Of course, the last name Trump, you would think that Trump would have something over Putin, but no, it's the other way around. Donald receives, he doesn't give. Always. Always. Trump admires the fact that Putin can do whatever he wants. He can just make decisions and go with them. And if anybody questions those decisions, he will kill them. So, or oppress them, which is the same as making fun of them in a schoolyard. Same thing. Donald is just enamored by that. Then Donald goes to France and sees on Bastille Day this military parade. He also sees it on Fox News with China goose-stepping and North Korea goose-stepping. And Donald gets a little willy in his system. He gets a little willy in his system when he sees that, because it's all for him. They march in front of him. They look at him. They salute him. Oh, man, that's better than an orgasm from Putin. I'm telling you, it's just he loves that. Now he wants to have his own military parade in Washington, D.C. once a year. He says perhaps on Veterans Day. So that would take all the attention off of Trump, though, and put it on the veterans. So that may not happen on Veterans Day. But Trump wants to sit in the stands and have all the veterans and all the military power marched in front of him so that he feels like these are his things. These are his possessions. And now the president of China, also a dictator, they have just decided in China, well, they didn't just decide, the president of China decided, the leader of China decided that he shall be the leader until he dies. There will be no elections, no choices, no changes. He will be the dictator until he dies. Trump actually said, I think kiddingly, you can't tell with Trump whether he's kidding or not, because all the stuff that's really stupid, he does. So you don't know. Trump can't make a joke because he's too volatile. He's too volatile. You can't. You don't know. Trump says that he admires now the dictator of China. And he says, congratulations on being the dictator until you die. We'll have to give that a shot here in the United States. That sounds like good. Maybe we'll give that a shot. That's not funny, really. You see, the one thing that Trump doesn't do, he doesn't embrace democracy real well. He doesn't really care about people unless they're school kids crying in front of him. Then he'll get a little misty for about a day or two. Then he'll sit down, talk to the NRA, and say, what kids? What kids showed up? I don't even remember any kids coming. I don't remember kids. I don't remember listening to kids. What are you talking about? Anyway, Trump wants to be leader for the rest of his life. He really loves that. It is a sexual situation for him. Other sexual situations are whenever he sees a woman who are pretty and have large breasts. That also is a sexual situation for him, as we've heard from the Entertainment Tonight school bus. Trump also wants to be a dictator. He has a love of people in power. You can't argue that with me. You cannot argue that with me. Trump loves power. It does something to him. Now, being fair, we all kind of love power, don't we? We love it when people do what we say they should do or what we suggest they should do. That is a little exciting. Look at dominatrix, where, they have these people dress up in chains and leather and other people, they love to be submissive. Oh, beat me. Oh, demean me. They love that. So there are those that love to exert power, to get off on it, and those that love to be submissive. Trump thinks that he's the guy dressed up in the leather with the whips, and the population of the United States are the submissive ones. I think he really believes that. Anyway, it is not my point to sit here for the whole show and talk about Trump. That was not my intent. I was simply bringing up the news item that Trump actually made a statement, kidding or not, I don't know, you can't tell, that he admires the leader of China now that it's been decided that he shall be the leader until he dies, and there is nothing democratic about it. Do you know in China, a while ago, they decided in the big China, well, the leader decided, that families can only have one child. I'm into that. Do you know why I'm into that? Less crying. That's why I'm into it. No, you know why I'm into it? Because even though you can't really tell somebody how many children to have, there are so many families that bring up children in poverty. And I'm sorry, but if you can't bring a child into this world and protect them and financially be able to feed them and not have them shivering or taking drugs or living in some type of incredible squalor, then you shouldn't be having the child. No child deserves to be brought into this world and then be neglected, punished, left out in the streets, hungry, cold. You shouldn't be able to do that. But in this country, we can't regulate that. That's the one thing about China, I'm saying. You know, the regulation itself is absolutely absurd. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's just an absurd to regulate something like that. However, I'm just saying it is less crying in restaurants. Okay, let's move on, shall we? The other Trump thing I want to talk about today is Trump's, he does tax cuts. I guarantee you no one will feel it. You're not going to get any huge kinds of bonuses, if any. Your salary will not go up at all. What corporations save from paying corporate taxes is going to go right into their own bank accounts or right back into growing the company without you, the people. The employees will still be burdened doing the job of five. One person doing the job of five, that will not change because that's called business efficiency. The tax cuts will be not enjoyed by the population. I think you'll find that out when you do your taxes next year in the end of 2018. What you will immediately feel is your health insurance costs will indeed rise even more than they have before. Wait and see. You shall see it. Your availability to cheaper health programs will not be there. Those of you who are struggling shall struggle more unless the state that you live in can protect you to some extent. Trump is he can do this by executive order, a 25% tariff or tax on countries who want to sell us and ship us aluminum or steel. Trump does this because China provides a lot of aluminum and steel for the United States. So Trump wants to put a 25% tariff on it. Do you know who pays the tariffs? Well, China does. Do you know who pays for higher costs on aluminum and steel? You do. Every time you open a can of beer, anything that has to do with steel, cars, for example, all those things will go up in price by at least 25%, at least. And you will be thrilled, won't you? That's money out of your pocket. Just like building the wall. Mexico will pay for the wall. Ope, they won't. You will. But that's not what you said in your campaign. Tough crap. You're paying for my wall. Wait a minute. This isn't working out the way you said it would. Man. Here's the stupid part, Trumpy. China isn't the only country that sells us aluminum and steel. Other countries do as well, Canada being a huge major player, as well as many other countries. They're also going to have to pay 25% more. You're going to be hurting your friends, your allies as well. Trumpy, 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 Trumpy. And on top of that, with the latest budget, we have and the passing of the tax bill that everybody is not too sure about. Now the deficit is through the ceiling, highest deficit ever. Trump doesn't care about that because in business you can just claim bankruptcy and everything is fine. You can start all over again. Don, this is not a business. It's a country. There's people involved. We can't go bankrupt. The United States going bankrupt? Not good. You know what? It actually already is. We're borrowing money from the countries that you want to punish. We borrow more money from China than any other country. in order to take care of our deficit. You jerk. Don't fuck with them. It's not a good idea. That's like fucking with the bank that's giving you money. Don't do that. Not a good idea. Excuse my terminology and my cursing. I did say bank. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for letting me talk because I thought it would be important. I don't want to get, you know, this is a comedy show. It's not a drama show. This isn't NCIS or AOCT or AOL.com. I don't know what you call this, but it's not that.
Now listen here.
Trump is a bad seed. Bad seed.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, winner of every international and global podcasting award Ron has given himself. He writes them in crayon, on construction paper. It's actually kind of cute.
We have a guest coming up shortly here on the program. Our guest is only about 4 foot two. Very shortly coming up. And other things as well. I did suffer through a power outage. Many of my compatriots in my geographical area still have no power. They're powerless. They are powerless to do anything about it. The storm was on Friday here in my studio area. Knocked power out at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I said to myself, this is not so bad. This is not so bad at all. It's still rather warm in the house, so that's pretty cool. I guess the house and the studio are retaining their temperatures. Well, Friday, fine. Saturday got a little bit colder. Sunday got a little bit colder inside, to the point where freezing my ass off was the weather forecast inside my own house. Got power back last night at about 8 o'clock p.m., just in time for the Academy Awards. By the way, I won no awards whatsoever. Oddly enough, I wasn't up for any because I wasn't, because I don't do that stuff. I have actually been involved in two major motion pictures, sort of, but was not nominated for either one. So screw them. And it's fun seeing these opulent people with millions of dollars behind them accept these little trophies. And, you know, they have to have political causes, because if they didn't, it would just be all about themselves. And that would be presumptuous in their evening gowns and their expensive designer clothing. Who are you wearing? I'm not wearing anybody. I'm wearing clothes. I don't walk around with people on my back. Wouldn't that be funny? That's what I would do if I went to the Academy Awards. I'd go there naked, and I'd wear somebody named Bob on my back. And then the interviewer would say, who are you wearing? And I would say, Bob. It wouldn't be that funny, really, come to think of it. It would be pathetic, and I wouldn't even get in. So forget it. But anyway, I watched the Academy Awards. The part of the Academy Awards that I cannot watch are the things in memorandum, they call it. They do a very sad thing. They show all the people who died that year. Not in my family, just famous people who were in film. And sometimes they stretch it to people that are really not in film, but we just really miss them. I can't watch that because they play very sad music behind it, and it's all the people that we grew up with. It's part of our heritage. You younger people, you didn't grow up with these people. I did. And you see them just fading off the planet all around us, and you say to yourself, holy crap, these people who are dying, I grew up like knowing them. I didn't know them personally. Actually, some I did. But it's just sad. It's sad. Why would I want to sit there for 5 minutes and just with sad music being told all the people that have died? It's just sad. It's just sad. So I can't watch that. In any event, our guest is coming up rather shortly. Tomorrow I'll talk about the power outage. In the sense that power outages, and I'm sure no matter what part of the country you were in, even if you weren't affected by this gigantic nor'easter, it was, you've lost power at some time in your life. When you just go through that experience, it's very fresh and it's more impactful, but if you remember in your life losing power, it is like losing power. You are helpless. I'm freezing and I can't really do much about it. I've lost all the food in my refrigerator. My pets are uncomfortable. My feet are frozen. I have no hot water. I can't watch television. I cannot charge my cell phone. I have no internet. I am shut off from the world. When I go to a gas station, I can't get gas. All the little fucks with generators are taking all the gas up in their little orange and red little plastic gasoline containers. By the way, here's a business that's a great idea. Can somebody actually invent a generator that doesn't sound like it's about to blow up? They are so loud. Just when there's no power and there's no sounds, everything is like dead quiet because there's no power at all. All you hear are all the people who have generators sitting in their homes enjoying their lives while you're sitting there with your ass freezing off. It's a dichotomy that is, I have it, you don't kind of feeling. So psychologically, you even feel battered by a power outage. Many basements flood with a power outage, especially from a storm where there's rain, which is the case here, because a lot of people have sump pumps. If you have a basement, it's below ground. If you're in an area where there's poor drainage, like every place they build houses now, they're draining the swamp, different than what Trump was talking about, and by the way, hasn't done, water will seep into your basement unless you have a sump pump. Guess what? When you have a power outage, you have no sump pump working, so your basement starts to flood. You have no lights. You can't see a damn thing. You're bored off your ass because there's nothing to do. You can't read because candles flicker too much. There's no television. You can listen to the radio, but let's face it, seriously? You can't listen to this show because we're on an internet thing. And believe me, when I was with the radio stations, when the power went out, yeah, we had generators, but we didn't go on the air. We just did other things. So it's just a horrible thing. But I didn't want to talk about it, but I just did. All right, let's get to our guest. I'm running really, really late here, and I do apologize for that. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, our guest will join us.
First, they put jalapenos on your hamburger. But that wasn't hot enough. Then came habaneros, but still, that wasn't hot enough. Next came the ghost pepper, and still that was not hot enough for you. Well, buckle up, tough guy, because Burger Guy thinks you're not man enough to handle the heat of our new sweet flaming mother of heaven. What the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger? Featuring two of Burger Guy's signature paper-thin patties topped with an experimental hot sauce made from a concentrated hot pepper extract that has only been approved for military use by North Korea. This burger will burn a hole through every inch of your intestines and then slap your mama on its way out for good measure. This burger is so hot they wouldn't let us test it on prisoners. Death row prisoners. But for a limited time, you can try your luck at your local Burger Guy if you're not a complete pussy.
All purchases of the sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger, must be pre-approved by a certified attorney at law with proper notification of next of kin. Sweet flaming mother of heaven, what the f*** did you assholes do to my hamburger burger must not be consumed within 500 yards of schools or within 1,000 yards of open flame. All Burger Guy franchisees reserve the right to ignore cries for mercy or requests for immediate medical attention.
Dr. Neil Hamanowicz joins us now, and we're talking about, by the way, how are you today, sir?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
Wonderful. We're talking about Parkinson's disease, which is of special significance to me. My father had that, so I'm very familiar with it, but I was not familiar with a part of it as a symptom, which is hallucinations and delusions. I did not experience that part, but that is a possibility.
Yes, it is, and in fact, it's not uncommon, and it's also not uncommon that people are not aware of that. People think about Parkinson's mostly about the motor problems of tremor and slowness and maybe difficulty with walking, but these so-called non-motor phenomena or symptoms are relatively common, and actually the things you describe, like hallucinations or even delusional thoughts, some reports suggest occur up to 50% of people with Parkinson's at some point.
What is actually happening when delusions and hallucinations occur? Obviously, there's something's going on in the actual processing in the mind.
That's correct. The hallucinations are more common than delusions, but hallucinations mostly consist of visual phenomena. People may see, for example, bugs on the floor initially, but over time they can, in fact, evolve to become more fully formed and sometimes frightening or disturbing experiences, like seeing strangers in the home or somebody outside the house, in the backyard, for example. The delusions often take the form of paranoid thoughts or suspicions that even people close to them, spouses, family members, may be trying to harm them, poison them with medication, steal their money. It can be quite disturbing and upsetting, obviously, to the patient and also to the spouse and family members.
So indeed, what we're saying is the bottom line is that you lose the function of your brain to process properly.
Well, not entirely. And even people who have these things can seemingly think clearly and oftentimes initially recognize that these are not normal, that they're not real, but that insight may diminished as time goes by. So people can be, in many cases, cognitively doing reasonably well. This is just an odd symptom, odd in the sense that people don't normally think about this as Parkinson's disease, but it's a symptom that is not all that unusual that can enter into the daily life of somebody with Parkinson's disease.
And as I understand it, the advancements made in treating this disease, or at least making it, you know, possible to exist with it, have come a long way in just a few short years.
We have gotten better about understanding the disease process. We have, I think, developed greater sophistication in the tools that we've had, in fact, for a number of years. And there is a huge interest in doing better still, not just in treating the actual symptoms, but in addressing the underlying disease as well.
Is it one of those diseases where the earlier it's detected, the more controllable it is, or is that a situation or not?
I do think I would agree with that point of view, personally, that I think an earlier detection is good for several reasons. One is that people may have some anxiety about what's going on. I've had patients think that their symptoms may represent something even more difficult. For example, Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yes.
Just knowing what one is dealing with can alleviate anxiety.
Good.
And also intervention in various ways early on in the disease course, I think makes people more comfortable in their daily life.
Excellent. Now, what symptoms would I notice within myself or within somebody else where it would trigger a trip to a physician in order to investigate this?
The most common one would be shaking or tremor, and usually it shows up on one side only, and typically in the right or left hand. It doesn't correlate to whether somebody's right handed or left handed.
Right.
That would be the single most common symptom that prompts a visit to their doctor or raises some questions. But there can be other changes as well, slowed walking, reduced facial expressiveness, for example, reduced voice volume, just a difficulty with dexterity, handwriting can change, become less legible and smaller in size. There are a number of symptoms that can occur, but most commonly it would be the tremor and the slowness of mobility.
All right. And this, I get, you know, one would think this happens as one ages, but we know examples of certain celebrities, certainly, because they're always at the forefront of social stuff, where this can happen earlier in life.
5 to 10% of cases are diagnosed below the age of 50. It's regarded as a mature person's disease. The average age of diagnosis is 60, which sounds younger every year, but it's, you know, so it's not an elderly person's diagnosis.
Right.
It's a mature person's diagnosis most often. But there are certainly, as you mentioned, people in the public eye who, in their 30s or even earlier, were diagnosed as having Parkinson's disease.
Okay. Well, where can we get more information on this?
Well, there's a website that one can visit called moretoparkinsons.com, which will discuss more about these issues that we talked about, like hallucinations and delusions. And I think it's important that people who have this diagnosis or have a loved one with this diagnosis be aware, because many people don't recognize it, as we discussed it, it's part of Parkinson's disease. And actually, people don't bring it up with their doctor, even when it's occurring. And unfortunately, many doctors don't ask about it. So it would be helpful for people to be educated themselves. And moretoparkinsons.com is a place where they can learn more about that.
Good. And there are pharmaceuticals that can help control this.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's the key, too. To get help when you need help, and things are better. Doctor, thank you so much for your time. Very important to a lot of people, I'm very sure. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Take care. And with that, we put a close to it today. Be back again tomorrow with another show. I hope you join me then. Until then, I wish you peace.